I'm in the middle of like a presentation. He starts yelling and my ADD, I'm like, I get off track with my presentation and then I'm like, why is he yelling? Wait, focus on your presentation. Then I get in the call and he's like, you got to take the dogs to the groomers. I'm locked. I'm in a jam.
I was doing something this morning and hasn't kept on coming in. It was for work. I wanted to punch him in the face. And plus I'm PMSing. I was like this close.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I didn't expect it, but motherhood is the most challenging thing I've done to date. After a long struggle with infertility, feeling isolated from friends in the community, I had my twins at the age of 41. And the advice I got from people was always wanting sooner or the other. So here we are, 2.5 years later, and I'm curious to figure out what advice and what theories have worked for mothers. Catch up with them and occasionally vent about the things we deal with daily. Hi, I'm Hiba Shunbo and welcome to Mommy's Happy Hour. I'm joined today by my close friend Nicole, who's a mother to her two girls. Siba is 11 years old and Lily is 5.
Hi. I saw you when you were this small. My God, that's insane.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Do you know what that means? That means we're old.
Yeah, I know. Don't remind me.
Takes us right back to the card games at your mom's. On a what night was it, our card games?
It was during the week because we had the stamina to stay up all night and still do the same thing the next day.
That's right. Sorry.
Bye, honey.
What do you mean bye?
Bye.
We're doing a little chit-chat.
This is work, actually.
Yeah, it's actually work.
Nicole is originally from Maine, is currently based in Pennsylvania, but lived in Cairo for 13 years, so she's practically Egyptian. And as the saying goes, if you drink from the Nile, you will always return to Egypt. Or in Nicole's case, it'll take you more than 13 years before you ever decide to leave. In 1998, shortly after graduating from college, Nicole traveled to Cairo for a visit and ended up staying till 2011. Her 11-year-old daughter is from her first marriage, and she is now happily remarried and living in the U.S. with her husband and two daughters. I have very fond memories of Nicole when we were carefree before we had kids and life consisted of endlessly socializing over drinks with friends. Those were the good old days. She's very familiar with the culture in Egypt, so it was fun to catch up with her and highlight those differences. Motherhood and marriage can be different in different parts of the world, but in essence, they aren't really, are they? Nicole did, though, have some good advice on how to make time for date nights, which I must try. Fingers crossed it'll happen for my husband and I sometime in 2021. Now, as you've heard me say already, I had my twins relatively late at the age of 41. Nicole had her first daughter at 38 and her second at 43. So given my own personal insecurity about being an older parent, we discussed this topic extensively. And I'm relieved to know that Nicole overthinks this just as much as I do.
But it's still hard. I mean, being 43 and Dan is 3 years older than me, we're like the old couple, you know, like all Lily's friends' parents are like young. But I mean, we're older and that first 3 months with Lily, I mean, we were zombies.
I know what you're saying about the older parents, because since I had the kids, I calculate every stage in their lives according to how old I will be. And I'm thinking, first of all, I'll be 60 when they go to college. So I'll be like grandma in the background. And the same time too, I was kind of like, do I really want to be socializing with all these like 28-year-olds or 30-year-olds now that are taking their kids to nursery? Because it seems like, obviously, I'm the older parent. I got to know a couple of women that are nice, but they're much younger than me. Like almost 10 years younger than me.
Yeah, in Cairo, I can imagine they would.
So
be
it
here.
It feels a little awkward.
No, here, I mean, I would be the minority, but you'll find others. It's actually very common now. In certain parts of the States, it's common for older parents, and because there's people that went through IVF too that are later. So it's common, but it's still harder. Like I will do play dates or. Now I'm in a mom's group with Lily's friends and yeah, some of them are like 8 years younger than me. There's not a lot of time for that anyways, quite frankly. We have zero time to do anything. And now with COVID, it's like, where are you going to go do what? Like I can get a sitter, but what are we going to go do to even have a break? Like I don't get breaks ever.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you something. I think the first year I had more breaks, probably, when I look back at it. Now it's like I'm always, if I have a chance to do something, I will opt to sleep early. I'm so exhausted all the time. But I guess you can understand too, because you work as well. So it is much more difficult. Are you working full time now?
Yes.
Okay. So you work full time. Siba's in school.
Siba's in school 2 days a week with an alternating Friday.
And Lily?
Lily goes every day, but she's PM kindergarten. So she's only from 12:50 to 3:05.
Oh my God.
Which is like a blink. That's two emails. Two fucking emails. I mean, like, what are you going to do? If I didn't have help, what are you going to do with that time? It's like pouring a coffee, going to the bathroom, and two emails.
Oh my God. Yeah. That reminds me of when they stopped napping. First of all, I thought all kids nap like I had read. Because, you know, you always read things and it never goes as planned. You're like, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to nap till they're like four. They say most of them will nap till they're four. And they were napping probably 2 hours every day. So at least I got 2 hours of a break. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, probably a month before they started daycare again, all of a sudden they weren't napping at all. And I'm thinking there must be something off here. So I just kept on persisting for a few weeks and literally they don't nap at all. And I was like, oh my God, now I don't even get that 30 minutes or like hour break. It is deadly when it's all day long. But during COVID was too hard.
I mean, we, like Dan and I, in March, we really had like, we both were breaking down. Like, it was one, we're not accustomed to having the kids home when we work. It was a disaster. And we were both going through very difficult times. We both didn't know if our jobs were going to continue. We actually, on the same day, we were finding out the fate of our jobs. It was a Wednesday. And you've got the kids in the background breaking down, like bombing the Zoom. You can't get anything done. My organization I work for laid off 80% of its workforce, and I lost all my staff. We went from a department of 53 to 12. It was like the worst time. And yet somehow we made it manage, but it makes right now seem easy breezy because March was so bad. And so I know the kids are probably going to be, school's going to be shut very, we're coming to that, I'm sure, eventually. It just takes one case and the cases are going up everywhere. So we're better equipped. But again, you go from 7 a.m. until, this is how like I always describe how I'm going to bed. I'm a tree that's being cut and it's falling. Like I literally just go like this, crash. And like you go until the end until you're like crash. And then there's like a couple of words that come out like to Dan. I'll be like, you know, what? And then I'm asleep. I mean, we're exhausted.
But it's kind of like those drunken nights where you black out. I had that first year, by the way. I felt like now when I look back at it, you know, when you have the hangover, that you don't remember what you did the night before. I literally felt that whole year I was hung over that whole year. I was like confused. What was going on? What did I do yesterday? It was just, but for me, it was a combination of exhaustion, being freaked out,
yeah,
but also just like confusion, depression, the whole thing. I was kind of like, how did I get myself into this?
Because when Lily was one or two, and we were in Maine and we moved back down to Philly, and I was commuting into New York City every day for about 2.5 weeks for work. And I was so tired. I was getting like 5 hours of sleep. I literally fell asleep getting out of Penn Station in a cab going to my meeting. Like fell asleep in the cab, and it was so bad. I think the hardest thing is that you don't, and I feel lucky because I'm older and I had a very, you know, my 20s, I feel like I lived the fullest, probably too full, where I'm like, you know, nowadays I'm like, if I forget something, I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done all those drugs and alcohol. But they're now like, I'm grounded and this is my job. And, you know, in most cases, I love being a mom and I'm happy. Had I done this in my 20s, like there's all these things I would have wanted to try and do. Like I traveled and I studied and I, you know, made mistakes. But when you're 40 and you have a kid, it's like you have that behind you. You have the bad relationships. And so as much as like, yeah, nobody wants to get married once and then do it all over again and have to go through divorce or whatever. But the second time around, I feel like, and being older, you're more grounded in what's coming your way. I mean, I can probably handle being exhausted. I can handle not going anywhere. I can handle not being able to even shop for myself. I mean, it's so different. When you were talking about couples that have kids and couples that don't, the ones that don't, like my brother and sister-in-law, they don't have a clue. They just don't have a clue of what it's like to be maxed out, like really maxed out. And God, if they listen to this, I'm going to like,
oh, I love no, you guys. For sure. Because I'll tell you something, but for me, I think about it in terms of myself. Before I had the kids, I remember I used to work much more than I do now. Okay. But the difference is like exactly what you're saying, the maxed out feeling, because it's not like before when you used to work and you work and work, and then you're kind of like, I used to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, probably. But at the end of the day, after 2 weeks, if I want to take 3 days off and turn off my phone and not do anything, I can do that. I can sleep all day. I can watch movies. I can travel. Now it's like, you're like, I didn't even think about that. I was like, fuck, I can never turn off my phone. I can never switch off ever. So that whole first year, that it's like, for some reason I hadn't thought about that. So it really took me probably a year to year and a half to come to terms with that. I was like, that means I can never go out for a drink with a friend, because there, you know what I mean? It's like, just, you can, but not like we did before. It's on spare of the moment. Like, okay, I'm just going to go down and.
You're like 911 for your family forever, for life now. Like, you have to be reachable. And it's just never, I'm telling you, it's never like when you think, oh my God, I now can sit on the couch. Like, this happens all the time. You know, I'm literally juggling. I probably have made myself have more ADD because I have to juggle so much. You get something done, you sit down, then someone throws up or someone's barking, or, you know, every time something else happens, or like, I have a headache, now I got to get up and get the medicine. I mean, it's nonstop.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. What's exhausting is when they're sick. Well, for me, my kids are younger, so obviously I have to tend to them more. But that whole week when they're sick or something, oh, that's deadly. Because they both get sick at the same time, and it's all night long for a week to 2 weeks, and it's so tiring and exhausting. But I have to ask you, I have a friend of mine, because like, I know what you're saying about having kids older, but I have a friend of mine who says his mother always told him, if you ever want to have kids when you're young, in your 20s, because you're in the chaos of life. So you don't really think about the consequences, a lot of things you do. As you get older, like me and you, we feel like we need to be on call all the time. But when you're younger, do you really think about that? I think it is easier for parents that are in their 20s, on them at least.
Well, it could be, because they don't put the pressure on themselves. A 20-year-old is a lot less selfish. I mean, is more selfish than us at our age. For most people.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, it could be easier, but you know, I had a pediatrician once tell me that he said, you know, in the kids that he sees from older parents, there's such a difference from the younger.
Oh yeah. Please tell me that. So what is the difference? Are they better? Are they good kids?
They're hell of a lot smarter. No.
Okay, good.
No, but I mean, I just think that there is, you know, not every 20-year-old. Look, I think all of us possibly when we were younger would have liked to have gotten married earlier. We thought we'd fall in love and get married and have kids. And like, I look at some of my high school friends that are very successful. They married early. And now it's funny. And I look at their Instagram and they're like sending their kids off to college. And I'm like, oh my God. But I mean, everybody's dealt a different life card, you know? Is their life any better now that they're like empty nesters at 40? I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I kind of think maybe 20s is too early to have kids for sure. But I felt like, I don't know, I have this, and I don't know if other women feel like this. I always feel like this regret. I wish, well, it's not regret because I couldn't get pregnant before that, obviously, because I tried too many times. But I really would have wished, and for some reason, maybe this is really superficial, but I felt like I wish I had them just before I turned 40. You know what I mean? So I'm just not that 6-year-old at college graduation. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe because my parents were young when they had me, and I'm sure your parents were as well. So I'm really close to my mother. So I'm kind of maybe sometimes when I think about that, I worry that maybe there's too much of an age gap between me and my kids.
I think about that too when I'm older, but then again, you know what, there's Botox, there's facelifts. Hopefully we can inject something somewhere else. We'll be fine.
Yeah. That's
no one will know when we're sitting in the back with like magnifying glasses on, like, what did they say? Is that my kid?
That's true. But by the way, I'm always like now, especially Shireen, my sister. Okay. You know, of course she was like, kids are going to make you age very fast. And it's true. Since I had the kids, I have all this white hair sprouting. I don't think I had one white hair before. And now I have all these white hairs. And I certainly think it's time for Botox for me or something. Because I just feel like when I look at myself in pictures, I'm like, holy shit, is that me? So I'm like, fucking hell.
I have all these Zoom calls. I'm like trying to like position myself. I'm like, what?
Oh my God. Yes. I do that now. When my husband takes a picture of me, it's like, I have to look at them over and over again. What about those Instagram filters? Those are amazing.
I know we're going to have to, hey, if we continue in this world of being virtual, we can look like anything.
I know it's true.
Huh? Or maybe I should just sit like this and hold my skin back.
I know. Do you work out and things like that?
It's been on my notebook
for 11 years.
Wait a minute, I'll tell you, online, actually, if I turn to yesterday, I got an agenda that doesn't have dates on it, so therefore I don't feel bad. But I know one of the goals was on this page to get back to doing at least 3 days a week, and that was supposed to start on Monday or Wednesday. Nothing. I was doing yoga, Peloton app, and then we have a stationary bike, but I need to.
Yeah, I need to as well. For the past year, I've been on 5 pairs of clothes, like 5 outfits on repeats, like literally for the last year. And it's because, you know, the like waistband. And every time I feel like I've lost a little bit of weight, I try on my pre-pregnancy clothes and they don't pass my hips. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah. And I'm just hoping, did you get back to your pre-pregnancy weight or is that not happening for me?
No, I was going to tell you, I have clothes in my closet that I've carried from Cairo, and I don't know why the hell I still have them. They're never, ever going to fit me ever again. Like, so why do I have these clothes in my closet? I did a little bit of purging this last weekend. It was hard, but I was like, Nicole, your hips are never going to fit into those ever again. And you have to be okay with letting them go.
Maybe you should think of the other kind of purging. Maybe that'll work. And sometimes I'm like, fuck, I really need to.
No, then we're going to have to invest in bleaching the teeth. I don't know what will happen.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, no, we don't want that.
We don't want that.
No, we don't want that. But yeah, I don't get it. It's like, I look at myself and I don't think that I look that much fatter than before, but I must be because my clothes don't fit me. But I'm like, and I keep on every month, I'm like, no, I'm going to lose that weight. And it just doesn't really happen.
Well, that's taking time for yourself.
Right? I know.
And when you have kids, you don't have time for yourself. That's the biggest thing. You literally have no time for yourself. Even when I get it, if I'm laying trying to meditate or do yoga, I always think about my brain like this. If you could envision like Post-its flying out of a brain, like this Post-it's saying this Post-it's this, this is about lunch, this is about Outlook. Last year, I literally had like 4 calendars in my Outlook. One was for the kids. One was for the activities. One was for work. It's so ridiculous. Like I can't even relax my brain. Like I had to get into therapy about being in the moment. Like how can anybody be in the moment when the phone's ringing, your email is binging, dog's barking, somebody's throwing up, somebody needs to go potty, someone stole someone's Barbie.
Yeah, no, but you know, the calendar thing is a good thing. And I never put things in my calendar before I had the kids. Now I do, and it makes my life a little bit easier because it actually reminds me, because it's true. I mean, you do, your IQ does take a dive, or not IQ, but it's like, you just got so many things in your brain. You do forget so many things. And it's like, I just completely, like I used to be so on time all the time. Now it's like, I really struggle to be on time for things and you know, for meetings, and something always, always comes up. But I'm sure for you, as they get older, it's less so like completely out of the blues. Don't tell me no. Don't
you
tell
just
me
get
no.
Other things. You just get other things that come up. I mean, that's the thing. You have more tact. Like, it's just different. It's different responsibility at a higher level. Like, you know, you don't have to have the hands-on so much. Like, for you, once you got through that toddler phase and they're walking and they're a little semi-independent, and now, you know, you've got a little, but once they get more educated and more vocal with their communication, there becomes a mental, like, balance and challenge with them, like, to negotiate all the time. And then there's just, like, there's more tasks. Like, sometimes I forget to fill out forms at school and they're emailing me saying, oh, so-and-so's going on a field trip today. We don't have our form. You know, it's just like, again, it just shifts and changes. So not only are you working, but you're also doing meals. You're also doing this. You're also driving. You're also, you know, you're just piling more stuff on. And there really is no real true break from that. Like, even when I get a couple of days away, if Dan and I go away, we've gotten better about it, but you have to be, look at your phone, make sure everything's going well. You have to, like, do the nanny schedule. So, and when we were younger, we could, if we took 3 days off or if we went out one night, we could sleep all day the next day, call in sick for work. There's no going downstairs and locking myself in the bedroom and saying, I'm taking a break today.
Oh yeah.
You got to power through it. Power through it.
But do you take time off alone, you and Dan, often? How often do you?
Well, we used to, pre-COVID, we had a date night every month. We were, like, on a really good streak where we would, like, do some really fun stuff, like surprise each other with concerts. Then we went for, like, a long weekend to Arizona. We'd go away. It was, like, really fun. But now with COVID, it's like you can't really go anywhere. And our help completely changed. So I used to have a nanny who was an urgent care nurse, and she was fabulous. She's, like, better than me. Like, she takes care of the kids better than I do. And she works at the hospital. So we couldn't, we basically had to, like, drop that relationship because we're not going to have her come into the house after being at the hospital and vice versa. So now the help's a little different in who we can actually trust to come in and sleep. And, you know, even that, it's super expensive. Like, I'm sure your sister tells you, like, it's not like Egypt where I can get someone to be here for the month for $500.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's $500 for 3 days. Like, you go away for a week, it's a grand at least just for coverage.
Okay, I'll tell you something. It's true. For sure, that is definitely a luxury in Egypt. But I have to say, the quality is different too. I mean, at the beginning, I'll tell you something. Now, finally, I found somebody that's good. But before the kids turned a year and a half, it was a disaster after disaster after disaster. Because first of all, you know, the nannies here, they would never come on time. They would show up at 11 and 12 in the afternoon. The kids are up from 6 a.m. I was doing everything. So basically, it was just her babysitting for a few hours while I go to the office, just, like, you know, tend to the really important things and just come back. So right. It was like just continuous. I would prep their meals. I would prep their lunch. She would just basically come in at the time I would be feeding them for lunch. So, and then I would finish, obviously, because I'm in the middle of it. I'd finish it and then I would leave. And then come back, you know, probably before they have dinner. But the thing is it took me, okay, so that year and a half was, that's why it felt so difficult for me the first year and a half, because I was literally doing everything.
Right.
And after that, I finally found somebody. Of course, that also takes you a while to get, they get used to you, you get used to them, you know, they get used to the children, you're comfortable with them, you trust them, I don't know what. It literally took me probably almost a year for me to be comfortable to let her handle them on her own.
I was just going to say, you know what? I never thought about that. Like, there'd be many times where I'm like, it's 10 o'clock and I'm like sweating bullets and I'm like putting the dishwasher. I'm like, God, back in Egypt, like I would have had like her come in here and fold everything and I wouldn't be doing this. But you're absolutely right. Like, there's something to say about that expense and quality versus having someone cheaper that you don't even trust. And it's funny because now that I think back to it, the trust I put in my nannies here, I would have never put in that trust in the nannies in Egypt.
Yeah, no way. I mean, I'll tell you, Nicole, the first, when I kind of, you know, I kind of let her, I said, like, I'll trust her and I used to, like, set their meals and things like that. And then after a few months of being with me, I'd be like, okay, they seem fine. So I kind of wouldn't follow, I wouldn't be giving her strict instructions because she's been with me for 6 months, so she saw everything. At one point, they got really fussy with their meal times. So I'm like, there's something wrong. So I stayed home for a week. she was piling their food in the plate. You'd think they're like adults. And I was like, I went ballistic. That week I went completely ballistic. And of course my mom thought I had gone cuckoo and the nanny thought I was crazy. But I was like, obviously they're not going to eat all day long if you're giving them this amount of food. And it was a tough time because I had to retrain them in terms of eating because of that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was like 3 weeks of hell because sometimes I had to like, sometimes they were almost starving, but they were throwing things on the floor, spitting out food, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, why are they doing that now? So yeah, no. It can be difficult in that sense because you have to micromanage a lot of that stuff here.
So let me ask you, do you and Hazem actually get to have conversations or do you feel like your sentences are like, well, like cut. I mean, Siva and Lily interrupt us. I mean, we can't even hug. If we're hugging in the kitchen, hiding behind the refrigerator, someone will come and like break it up.
Well, we're still not that stage. Yeah, no, there we're okay. We can have a conversation. Taban, we forget midway probably what we were talking about. And no, there are a lot of things that come up. There's a lot of screaming in the background. There's a lot of crying for absolutely no reason. And yeah, now they're at a stage where they kind of have their own opinion. So there is a little more of a pushback with them. But no, we're okay. I mean, I stay up later than I should because just to hang out with Hazem for a bit, for a couple of hours before I go to bed. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, but we never have date nights. Well, because of COVID too. But before that, I just don't know. It just feels like the same things here a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and it's anything different. It's the same restaurants that were here probably when you were here.
Wow.
I feel like I have no friends either.
Okay. Well, listen, we don't really have friends either. But the thing is, even it, like we were like Friday night, I was like, I got a sitter for a couple hours. He's like, well, what are we going to do? It's not necessarily like, he doesn't want to go drink and he doesn't want to go to a restaurant. He wanted to work out. And I'm like, well, it's supposed to rain. So like, what are we going to do? The thing is, you need, even if we're driving around, parked somewhere, just having a conversation for a couple hours, and or just not saying anything, you need that time. Because if you don't take it, your ability to stay sane, I mean, for myself, it's not there. Like, I need to unplug, and I need to not be going at 100 miles an hour with all kinds of different things going on. Or I just need to, like, focus on him for like that minute, like be able to like sit and enjoy the conversation without worrying about a million other things. And you have to just force it. Like,
but you know, that is really good advice, by the way. And I also really, really like the thing that you guys surprise each other every once in a while. That is really cute, by the way, because we don't do any of that. The surprise is like, I don't know what it is now. The surprise is like, hey, let's watch a movie. It's like literally, and we go, and you know what we do? We switch on all the channels on Netflix for like hours and we don't find anything. And then I'm like, I'm really tired. I'm going to bed. So that's it. Like literally, we do that so many times. We look at Netflix. We're like, well, let's watch this. Let's watch that. And it just, we're like, he doesn't want to watch something. I don't want to watch what he wants to watch. I'm like, okay. And then we watch something. We put something on finally, you know, after an hour of like scrolling through things, we put it on. We're both on our phones. We're like, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, why are you asking me? What are you on the phone? You've been on the phone for 2 hours. And he's like, well, because you're on the phone. I'm like, well, I did because you were on the phone. Okay. So he's like, okay, fine. So we just continue on the phone. I'm like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to bed. That's it.
Well, hey, try this. Last Friday, I was like, all right, it's Friday night, it's date night. We're not going anywhere, but I might as well look like it's date night. So I go downstairs and put on a cute little outfit and put makeup on and come up and the kids are like, what's wrong with you?
Mommy, look,
why does your face look like that? It's like, woo. He's like, all of this. I'm like, well, at least we'll remember it. At least like, I've got to get dressed up for somebody or like put some makeup on. Otherwise you're going to be looking at this for another couple of years.
No, but no, I never did that just because like of what I said, most of my nice clothes don't fit me. So I have nothing to wear.
Just wear a bathrobe.
Yeah, that'd probably be more sexy than what I look like now. But But yeah, don't you think marriage gets kind of better with kids? In a way it does, huh? It's boring. It can get boring in a lot of things, but it's nicer because you have a companion to help you. You know what I mean? It's like
it does. It does. Well, I mean, we're lucky we have both companions. I mean, it sounds like 50-50 with you. And he sounds like a great dad and he participates and he's into it. And Dan like helps me with everything. But when the shoe's on the other way, like I can't even imagine. I mean, I was in that situation, but I can't imagine having kids and all this responsibility and then having someone who's like, doesn't help.
Yeah.
Like that.
But I'll tell you something. The first 6 months didn't. I had to beat him into submission. He's generally good. He's good, but I had to, I really had to put my foot down there because, you know, Egypt, it can get a little bit like, but you're the mother, you know,
right, it's your job.
It's like, what? It's like my job. I said, I'm supposed to do this and go to work and help out and do everything else and cook and, you know, and manage everything else. And you just go to work and come back. I don't think so.
You have to move here.
Yeah, I know.
Come join your sister, but not in Charlotte.
How's your mom? Does she help out a lot?
My mom was amazing. But again, you know, it has to do with the environment and the situation I was in. My mother is at a stage where she does not want to be the nanny or the babysitter. She wants to be the grandma that does the cool things. She only does suits on her terms. And I found as we got older and as things changed, it was less stressful for me just to hire the help than to have my mom help, because the hired help doesn't bother me, doesn't call me and give me their opinion, just does their job and I can take my break and do what I want to do without being interrupted. But again, being older and not having my mom, like my mom doesn't live in Pennsylvania, Dan's mom's 83, you have to rely on hired help. We have no free help. No free help here.
By the way, that's a good point, because actually, so your mother, she's American. My mother's Egyptian. They're the same. They're so critical. And my mother too my mother was a nightmare the first year, by the way. She was really bad. She wouldn't help out. She'd come in and give me all this criticism and judge me and what are you doing? But it's like, I guess I didn't want to hire help. I wanted people I trusted to help me out because I wasn't sure about trusting the kids with other people. I got like really paranoid at one point. I was like, what if I leave? What if they fall? What if they are not paying attention and something happens to them? So I really wanted to be there the whole time. So I wanted my mother to help out and be more proactive. She wasn't at all. Like literally, I remember her passing by she'd be like, I'll come by before Pilates class, but I have to leave in like 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, but I need you to help me out because I need to go to work. And I didn't have any hired help. And like you said, Egypt's difficult to find people to help you out, like good people. So it was very, very tough for me. And I felt like this like feeling of regret in her eyes that I had kids. Maybe that was completely my paranoia, by the way. So because it looked like she looked really overwhelmed. She was like, oh my God. And I think because my kids weren't very easy, there was a lot of crying in the first 6 months for absolutely no reason. And I think it's a bit of a character thing because my daughter still cries for absolutely no reason sometimes and screams at the top of her lungs. So now I can see that.
Do you remember Sibba?
I remember, yeah, you had a hard time with Sibba, right? At the beginning?
She cried all the time. It's anxiety.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but she was just screaming all the time.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was so tough for me. And I know it was really tough for her, I think. And it's like we used to hang out all the time, me and her, like really close. And like we didn't have that time where we could just hang out, me and her, and have a cup of coffee. That was it. Those times were gone. We were just sitting there listening to like these babies cry. We were like, it was really stressful. But after they turned a year and a half, now she's great. But because they're more independent, you know what I mean? I think she really enjoys the stage. And I think the stage is so cute. Okay, it's tough, I find, but I really like it. I think it's cute.
Very cute. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cute stage.
I mean, 1 to 5 is very cute. Lily's 5 and she's adorable. I mean, I don't want her to grow, to be honest with you. I mean, she comes down and she's tall. She sleeps in our room every single night. And we're like, you know what? It's our last child. We might as well. So she has a mattress on the floor. She comes down every night. I'm like thinking tonight, I'm like, oh, is this going to be a night where, you know, we're going to do something? And then he'll come in the bathroom and be like, our roommate's down here.
I know. Like roommates that never leave.
Right.
And that never clean up after them, those little fuckers.
No, I know. I can't wait to meet them. Where are they now?
They're sleeping. Thank you, God.
Oh.
Yeah.
How is Nira with them?
Nira's great. Nira, the same thing too. I think at the beginning, oh, you know, but by the way, she's like, after she had, 6 months after she had them, she's like, you know, Hippa, you cured me from ever wanting to have kids. She's like, before that, I used to hold kids and I used to feel like this feeling, this motherly instinct feeling. She's like, after your kids, I'm like, I don't have, my like ovaries shriveled up or something. She's like, I don't ever want to have kids. So I'm like, thank you, God. She can babysit now. No, but the first year was tough. Now she's great. She comes over every day. Personally, I hope she doesn't listen to this. I think sometimes she comes over too much. I'm like, sometimes it's like, Hazma and I just wanted to just be slumped on the sofa doing nothing, not talking to anybody. Right. And then you have Nira just sitting there in the background, just there. I'm kind of like, what is she doing? And I'm like, Nira, do you want to eat something? No. Do you want to watch something? No. I'm like, I felt like, so what are you doing? Why don't you go home?
But is like, she living with your mom still?
Yeah. 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 And they live right across the street from me now. You know, I moved.
Oh, cool.
They're right across the street. But yeah, no, it makes my life much easier. Literally, I was like 15-minute walk from them. And that was even too far for them. But yeah, you lived here when you were here. I think also having kids in the city in Cairo is a bit challenging. It's very difficult to move around.
You just reminded me of those days of like Siba, literally an infant in the wheelchair crossing 26 July Street with the smog and the cars and beep, beep, beep and the dirt. And I can't believe I was doing that. I mean.
Can you imagine me with the double stroller?
No.
Oh my God, it's a nightmare.
No. I'm surprised a baby would flip out. I can't. I mean, there's no ramps down. I mean, no, I can't.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you know, they've done a few ramps now. They've done on some of the streets, but they're literally this narrow. I'm like, what are these ramps for?
The wheelchair wheel's going to fall off.
It's for a bicycle. I'm like, what the hell? And like, literally we have to get on it and we try to, and we can't. So we have to circumvent and go the other way. But Hazem made the best decision. We got this, for Egypt especially, we got this double stroller. It's the mountain buggy.
Oh, so they stand behind?
No. It's the brand mountain buggy. The wheels on it are like tires.
Ah.
So it makes a huge difference. When we had the other ones before that, you know, just like even the really good ones, I don't remember what the brands were, but no, it's a struggle getting them down, up, and because you know how it is here. It's like you have to go up and down, up and down, up and down all the time. And there's the car parked too close to the ramp, so you can't get up the ramp, or they're stuck together, so you have no way of moving, getting off the pavement into the, no, it's a disaster. So at least the mountain buggy with two kids in it, it like at least you can manage it without like breaking a sweat.
Think about it. Now we're like bragging about our strollers. You're like the mountain buggy.
Yes, it's the best. I'm not joking. It's brilliant. I was like, oh my God, thank God he did the research and thank God he bought it. It really made a huge difference for Egypt. Oh yeah, yeah. It's like literally, it saved our lives. The mountain buggy.
All right, everybody, you have to remember to get the mountain buggy. It's the tires on the...
Oh, yeah, especially if you're going to live in Cairo. You got to get that mountain buggy.
Oh, God.
God, I miss you, Nicole.
I miss you, too.
I don't have any friends that I can talk to honestly here. By the way, I just met two girls. I feel like, you know, I'm at that stage where, you know, when you're meeting guys and you're dating guys, I feel that way with girls.
Why?
Because I meet girls and I'm like... I really want to meet an interesting girl that I can hang out with and we can chat and like have like honest conversations with. And it's like, I'm like, I go out with a girl, like, or I have a conversation with a girl and Hazem will ask me, so how did it go? I'm like, I don't know. I didn't really feel the connection. So like, literally, it's like my new thing now is like my connection with like these girls as opposed to you know, when you have on your first date. But no, but it makes a huge difference when you have kids. It's like you want to like connect with other women.
Yeah, it's that like collaboration and like venting and being able to like talk about stuff. And I mean, the other gender doesn't like as caring and as, you know, as endearing they can be, they don't always get it. Like it's, you just need that. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had friends since I left Egypt. Like very few. I have a couple of like Lily's friends. I try, and then I'm like, I'll go out to dinner and I'll invite Dan. We'll do like a couple's dinner, and Dan will be like looking at me from down the table, being like, and then we'll get home and be like, don't ever do that again. He's terrible. He didn't talk to me the whole dinner. It's like, I might like the lady, you know, we're having a grand old time, bottles of red down. And then I'm looking down the other end and he's like, I'm trying to make conversation with this guy. He's terrible. Right. Finding like a couple is even harder than just like another girl to hang out with.
Thanks for joining me and Nicole on Mommy's Happy Hour this week. I'm Hiba Shenbo and our producer is Chirag Desai. You can find the show in your favorite podcast player and connect with me on Instagram at Hiba Shenbo. If you've enjoyed this, please take a minute to share it with friends and leave us a review in your podcast app. Can't wait to join you again in 2 weeks. See you then.